Morning, in the name of Jesus. Aren't we thankful this morning that we serve a Savior that's alive? And that right now, the Bible says, and we can believe it, that our Savior is praying for you and for me and every single one in our congregations right now. Praise His name. And we just sang, it was inspiring to hear your voices. What an 80-something man choir. Praise be to God. All praise and glory be unto Jesus. For He hath purchased a full salvation. Behold, how wondrous the proclamation. Whosoever will may come. And that's to the unsaved, but it's also to me and you this morning. He wants us to come. He wants to come in our weakness, when we feel like this is for someone else. But He wants to show us that He is strong in our weakness. What a blessing to be here this week and to be under the voice of the Word of God being proclaimed through his servants. On Tuesday, I had the privilege of traveling with Brother Gary and Russell and Laban. And we met Laban there in Denver, and we had kind of a rocky takeoff, which I guess is normal in Denver. But we landed in San Jose, and then Gary had kindly went and got the rental car, and we headed here toward Mount Hermon. And I have to take full responsibility for what happened next. Gary's driving, and he navigated these beautiful curvy roads here in the Redwood Forest very ably. But I'm the one that punched in Mount Hermon Conference Center in the GPS, and then handed it up to Russell, and we're navigating along, and I don't know how it happened, but all of a sudden, it's turning us on to Bear Creek Road, and we just thought that was okay, and I don't know if Johnny and Grant and Mike took that route, but we thought of you, some of you brethren, maybe they took Bear Creek Road, and then it turned us on 35, and what, we just following directions. And initially, the ETA on Google Maps, it said arrival time was 3 o'clock p.m. And then we got to look, and then it said 3:15. And then as the road began to narrow and get curvy, I didn't see it, but someone in the front seat, maybe Gary, saw a sign that said, "Truckers, your GPS is lying to you." We thought, oh, We've been had. But you know what? We had a choice to make. We could either grumble about our delayed arrival and worry about getting car sick, or we could enjoy the beautiful, beautiful California redwoods. And you wouldn't have wanted to be an 18-wheeler driver on that road. Some of you probably driven on that. Sometimes it was one lane, switchbacks, steep curves. At one place, there's a bunch of crews working on the left side. It looked like they were trying to shore up the road. And I thought, after we experienced that, and we arrived safely, as it's obvious, is it ever that way in our ministries, your ministry? We picture ministry, we get called to the ministry, and there's this like honeymoon period, and we're excited, you know, God's going to use us. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves not on a superhighway, but on a curvy, desolate road. And we're like, I think I might have listened to the wrong GPS. And what do I do with that? What do I do with that? Well, we have a choice. We can either take our route and bring it to the Lord and say, "Lord, I repent. I give this to you." I thought of Aaron's bucket illustration. Sometimes when I'm on a road like that, it's because, like Aaron said, I've taken something out of God's bucket, and I'm trying to put it in my bucket and do it in my own strength. And Jesus says, "Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden." And I'm looking at brothers this morning that labor, and there's sometimes you feel heavy laden. And Jesus says, "Come unto me. I will give you what? Rest." And you know what He's saying? take the load out of your bucket and give it to me? You know what I do sometimes? I think I'm casting all my care upon him. And what I'm doing is I'm taking my backpack off and I'm taking the rocks out and I'm shuffling it to a duffel bag and picking it back up. And I think it's better because I've shifted it around. He's saying, let go. Well, there's a man who I haven't really studied into his life much in the Old Testament, but he had a huge ministry. He had a huge responsibility. And yet we can take hope because of the journey that he recorded in a psalm. And I got really excited, inspired in the midst of maybe a time when I was down talking to a dear brother in the Lord named Steve Peacock. He's originally from New Zealand, and he works together with me in Design Outreach. And we have a lot of talks on the phone, on the Teams video conferences. And he is just, the word is right there coming out of his heart. He's a good example for me. And one time here recently, he said, Michael, do you realize that Psalm 73 was written by the worship leader of Israel? I never thought of that. Let's turn there, Psalm 73. Here's a man called by God with giftings that, and his name is Asaph. And here's what the Lord said, excuse me, here's what the word says about Asaph, about his ministry. 1 Chronicles 16:4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Verse 5, Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with the cymbals. Here's a man that day in and day out, the ministry God gave him was to praise God in song and an instrument. And yet look what happened in his ministry. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He starts out, and I would say that's praise. Praise to God. God, you are good to Israel, those that have a clean heart. And then look at this exception clause that he attributes to himself. And are we any different at times? We say, God, you are great, and I believe you here, but I'm not quite getting it. You ever do that? And maybe you're young in the ministry and you feel that way. Well, you can feel that way when you've been in the ministry. And I imagine if you talk to some of these brothers, maybe in the ministry 50 years, there's times you're like, Lord, be strong in my weakness. And look what he says, but as for me. He said, God, you are great. You're good to Israel. And you're good to those with a clean heart. But as for me, I don't fit in that category. That's what he said. That's not me. Imposter syndrome, whatever you want to call it. He had been praising God, leading probably millions of people in song. He said, look at this. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. This is Asaph saying, God, you're good, but I'm at the end of my rope, and I don't have the strength to hang on, and I'm about ready to let go. And then we can see what was happening. I think Asaph was listening to the wrong GPS. Look what you see here. For I was envious of the foolish. You know what he'd done? He'd taken his gaze off his Lord, and he was looking it around. You know what we've heard this week? Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Don't compare yourselves to the people that are wealthy. We didn't hear so much about that, but to the wicked. He took his gaze off of the Lord, and he's looking at the prosperity of the wicked. And I did a little reading, and there's some thoughts that he might have been talking about some rulers of Israel who were corrupt. These could have been his own contemporaries, but his eyes were off of the Lord. Instead of saying, woe is me, like Isaiah did in chapter 6, he was in chapter 5, woe unto you, woe unto you. And he says, for there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Look, he's just gone on and on. And this, I would call this a confession that he wrote later. He saw where he was. Their eyes, verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And you know what? I could see him. He just gone down, down, down in the spiral of degradation and woe, depression and misery. He's focused at these folks who have it so much better than him. And he's like, look at the next verse. You know, I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've been following you, Lord, in vain. I've been doing all this ministry in vain because, look, they've got it good. You know, we heard warnings of deception. Doesn't this sound kind of like he's looking at prosperity gospel and saying, Lord, why are you blessing them? And he's focused on that. I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. His mind is just fixated. He's not bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And is that me sometimes? Yeah. And there can be, maybe there's relationship challenges in the church. Or I'm looking at balancing workload with ministry. And on Sunday night or Monday morning, the record player starts turning. And I'm listening to the wrong GPS. I'm listening to a lie. Because the word of God says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And the word of God says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. Everything. That's listening to God's positioning system, not the one from the enemy. And yet, through the thickness of our fog, we hear that quiet voice saying, come unto me. And then the words of the word of God come and say, take every thought captive, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the Lord. I don't have those words just exact. And we can step back and we can say, thoughts, are you according to the word of God? Thoughts, do you pass through the Philippians 4:8 filter? And if the thought says no, you can say, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to think about Jesus this morning. I'm not going to worry about the next 3 weeks because God has those. But you know, we deal with that. We're humans. And this thought of stress in the ministry is real at times. And it was brought to my attention recently. This is a modern word, but I believe there's a biblical basis here. There's two kinds of stress. And it goes along with Aaron's analogy of the buckets. I was introduced to a word called eustress, E-U stress. And that's like good stress. It's the kind of stress that goads you onward, like the stress of like knowing that it's your turn to preach next Sunday. Your privilege. Sometimes I say turn, and maybe it should be better to say privilege. And that goads us to get in the Word and seek him. And that's the stress that God says, no, that needs to be in your bucket, but it's okay. It's going to inspire you onward. And then there's distress. And that's when we try to drag things out of God's bucket and the little record player starts spinning. And that's what Jesus says, put that back in my bucket. And look what happened here to Asaph. What What changed in this? He was on this curvy road. He'd probably seen a sign right about here where it says, truckers, your GPS is lying to you. You know what he did? He went into the sanctuary of the Lord. He says here, verse 15, it says, if I speak thus, I'll offend against the generation of thy children. He's in a bad spot. And then when I thought to know about this, it was too painful for me. And look where everything changed, brothers. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. You know what he did? He shifted his gaze on all everyone else and how he was not blessed like them, and he shifted his gaze back on the Lord. And the Lord turned his seeing through a glass darkly to seeing clearly and giving him wisdom, say, this is temporary. But Lord, what you're giving me is eternal. And he repented. Look at his repentance here. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. He went from a short-term perspective to an eternal perspective. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Then look at this confession of godly sorrow. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was at as a beast before thee. And then look at the times of refreshing from the Lord that came. He acknowledged I had my focus wrong. I was not looking at you, Lord. And I was foolish. He confessed that. And then the Lord brought him peace and joy. Nevertheless, in spite of me, just like we can say, Lord, thank you that when I was running away from you, you pursued me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can we fathom that this morning? We've been called to a place of a ministry like Asaph. And yet there's some times in our humanity when the road is curvy and the night is dark, and we think we're all alone. Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And then we can say with Asaph, nevertheless, in spite of myself, in spite of my weakness, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. He's saying, that's me, Lord. That's my weakness. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He said, I turned my back on listening to a lying GPS. And Father God, and we can say through the Lord Jesus this morning, I'm going to listen to God's positioning system because you will never fail me. You will never leave me. And the Holy Spirit of God, as I follow Jesus, will never lead me astray. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is, isn't this a beautiful, positive verse? But it is good for me to draw near to God. And we know the promise. When we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. And just a few verses of testimony to this. I was talking to my son Landon the other night, and I mentioned I might share on this. He said, "Have you thought of Psalm 37? I said, "You know, that's just, what do you call that in math when they swapped? Transfer? The transfers. And you know that, I need things like that to remember. Psalm 37. Now this is David, and Asaph, I think, was just David's right-hand man when it came to coming into the house of God and singing and praising God. And here's David, he says, "Don't listen to a lying GPS." That's my word, ad-libbing here. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And here's the answer. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell on the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And we can say this morning that that will enable us to feed the flock of Jesus Christ. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness in the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." And I want to just close after this first part of verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I just want to pause now and just say thank you to each one of you that have come. To the host committee, to all you young brothers that sacrifice time away from your wife and your children. For each one of you that have touched me in a special way these last 3 days, deep conversations, late nights, and it's good. We can sleep when we get home. Yeah, hopefully, yeah. And just a reminder for me and for you, let's listen to God's positioning system. And when we find ourselves on that curvy, dark road, we can look up to Jesus and say, "You know, I'm going to enjoy the scenery and trust you with the destination." Let's pray. Dear Abba Father, we come before you this morning with thankful hearts. Thank you that you welcome us into your presence. You welcome us to your throne of grace right now, that we can find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Father, thank you that while we were yet sinners, you sent Jesus to die for us. And Lord Jesus, thank you for looking into that cup there at Gethsemane and saying, "Not my will, but thine be done," and paying the penalty for my sin and the sin of the whole world, and enabling us and putting us into the ministry. Father, I pray and I thank you for your strength in our weakness. Father, I lift up before you every servant of yours here in this room, everyone that couldn't make it. Father, would you strengthen each one? Strengthen me, strengthen each one here to go deeper with you, to seek you and find you, to completely surrender every room in our heart to you. And Father, I pray that you would be glorified from the fruit of this weekend. Father, I pray that souls would be saved. Father, I pray that my heart would be soft and you would bring back to remembrance week after week what you have taught me here. Father, I pray that you would surround each one with your traveling mercies. I pray for each person in each congregation in this small part of your church. Father, I pray that you would use us for your glory. That you would be glorified in all things. That you would have the preeminence in all things. that you enable us to follow your Holy Spirit, your positioning system, every time we lose our way. And Father, we trust you to bring us back into your path. Thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.